It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. I almost wanted to come in like, ho, 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 happy Brews Day. It is our Christmas Eve edition.
Yes.
Brew Talk, coming to you live from
Midtown Greeley.
Yes, in the Aloe Fiber Studios. You've got Scott, you've got Doc, and sitting in for Chad tonight is the one and only Tommy Dyer from Tight Knit Brewing, who has provided us with our table beer today. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you bring for us to enjoy in the first half of the show today?
Well, we had to bring the winter warmers, the Christmas ales. We've got our Buddy's Elixir is the big one we release every year. So brought that with me. And then a special barrel elixir. That's barrel age 14 months rye barrels from our friends at 477. So that's the big beer, and that's the little shorty sleek 8-ounce cans, which is brand new for us. Oh. So that's a cool, fun packaging.
I love that packaging
for an 11.6% beer. So yeah,
and I love how they are. The labels almost mirror each other. That, you know, this year's Buddy's Elixir is like a burgundy, and then it's got the green highlights, and then the other one is green with the burgundy highlights. So well done.
Yeah, thank you. And a little kind of Christmas wrapping paper vibe on these labels. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
You like it? You like the wrapping or the labels or the beer?
Yes.
I like that.
To all three. I love the shorty cans. Those are awesome, especially with high ABV beers. It's really nice to know that somebody was thinking about me being by myself when I drank a beer rather than have to have four or five friends around.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where that idea came from is because, you know, a lot of times, at least for me, I'd love to try this beer, but I don't want to open a 750 bottle or even a 16-ounce can of 11% beer because then you're really committed.
You're committed and you have to, let's have the friends around and pour everybody some, and then I'm going to go walk off by myself and enjoy this. Yeah.
So enjoying these for the holidays is kind of cool in this format. So it was kind of a pain to can because we didn't think of a couple things, but we got it done, and we have a solution going forward. So I think any of our higher ABV beers for the foreseeable near future will be in the 8-ounce format. So,
oh, nice. I like it.
So when you say there was a couple things you didn't think of, what, like, for example, what?
It's embarrassing. So we just have a single head little canning line, single head seamer. These cans are sleek, so we didn't have the spacers. Like, they don't even create the spacers for the sleek cans on our machine.
Oh,
like,
wow.
We were just thinking about height because we can adjust ours by height, like, super easy. But the diameter, there you got other issues there. So we had to manually can these, which was kind of a pain in the butt.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, we're not doing a huge volume of this, but still it was just kind of a little extra work. But going forward, we kind of have our own little solution.
Mine has a little, I'd have to take mine apart and move things.
Yeah.
And then put it back together again just to get a sleek can on.
Yeah.
And let alone the height.
Yeah.
I don't think I could get the height.
Our current solution is plumber's putty. So
there you go.
That works.
Yeah.
Baling wire and gum.
I was going to say,
so many things in this world.
Yeah. The MacGyver element, I think, for the craft brewers.
Oh, yeah.
Just from, you know, from origin all the way up to their current environment, I think is really big, which I think speaks to the nuance of the industry.
Small breweries are all about tinkering in the garage.
Yeah.
You know, what works, what doesn't work. And then that fall apart, so then you have to try it again.
We're all problem solvers, whether we like to be or not.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right. Keeps it exciting.
So Tommy, the name. Mm-hmm. I've heard a rumor that this name has got some inspiration from something Christmassy. So any truth to that?
Absolutely. It's a holiday film favorite. It's kind of a newer holiday classic, but Buddy the Elf.
I love it. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. It's one of the three that I have to watch every year, so I love it.
And you might be thinking, okay, well, Buddy's Elixir probably is just like maple syrup or something, right? Because that's a food group.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some spaghetti.
Yeah, or spaghetti. but it's not.
No, it definitely is not, so we appreciate that. Yeah, and I wasn't sure that I could pick up any hints of the four major food groups in the culture. I don't know. Are there any in there?
We got the sugar in there.
Yeah.
We got the brown sugar. We got the ginger. Which is that considered? That's a root.
It's candy.
Can we call it
candy
a vegetable?
Cane, yeah. Candy corn and syrup.
Yeah. Right. Ginger, cinnamon. So in our own way, we have the groups for
sure.
Beer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, and I really like this beer because as you're drinking it, the nose is just cinnamon.
It is.
But it's not it's not like a red hot kind of cinnamon.
Right.
It's just like this. Cinnamon kind of thing. And then the flavor, there's a lot of cinnamon, a little bit of ginger note in there too. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Think gingerbread.
Yeah, it reminds me of like one of those little candles that my mom would have at Christmas time that had some of the cinnamon oil in it or whatever that was just like filling the house with that aroma. So well done.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just kind of a malty, cozy Scotch ale-based beer that... Yeah, it's just kind of
hits. You know I'm going to be drinking this all show.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, we need to because we have cans of that. And, you know, because we've got the barrel age that we're going to have to get into like next segment. So I feel like we're going to have to prep ourselves and work through this.
Yeah.
It's the worst part of our job having to drink beer while we're on the show.
I know. At least we've got water.
How awful.
We do have water. So we'll... make sure that everybody gets some drink. And, you know, Doc, normally we're talking about some of, you know, your beers. You normally provide the table beer for the show, which we very much appreciate, you and everybody else down at Rule 105. And I know we talk a little bit about it. You know, this one's got a good color. It's got a decent head. But it sticks around for a little while.
Well, I love the head is not just like a white head. And it's not just the head you might expect on a Scotch ale. It's got that cinnamon color to it. It's creamy. This is a very, very good winter warmer kind of beer, even though it's not a winter warmer.
Yeah, it's not high enough in alcohol content to get there. So,
no.
But the barrel-aged version definitely
is.
So.
I'm waiting.
We're going to make you wait until the next segment, Doc, and then we'll all try it together. It'll be like one of those surprise segments in that regard. So, well, I was doing a little bit of research. It was kind of interesting. There's some news that came out that was on Brewers Association talking about some of these across the pond collaborations that are happening. And they talked about the U.S. and the U.K. are doing a collaboration beer project. And so I know that both of you have done a number of collaborations with other brewers and even sometimes distilleries and things like that. Have you ever considered or thought about the possibility of doing a collaboration like further away in that capacity?
I would love to.
Yeah?
Would love to. I imagine that would be the same for most brewers, that it would be really great to have a collab with your favorite brewery from England, Germany, Ireland, fill in the blank, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
I think, you know, just getting those connections is obviously a little more challenging.
Sure.
Right? But, yeah, no one's going to say no to going overseas or having people come here, you know, whether...
Oh, darn, I have to fly over there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'll put you on the spot a little bit, both of you.
Uh-huh.
If you could, who would you want to do a collaboration with, if you could think of someone just right off the top of your head?
I have three in mind.
Ooh.
First that came to mind was probably Mean Time. I really like Mean Time's offerings, especially their IPAs, I think, are really good. Hint, they're from London. And then two others that I can think of in London. One would be Southwark Brewing, which is spelled Southwark. And then another one would be Anspach and Hope Day. I don't even know if they're still around, but they were a nice little small brewery that just really hit it.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you talking to me about Southwark before I went to London, and I didn't get a chance to get there, but I'm hoping to.
Oh yeah, they're
when I go
awesome.
Back in May, and so that's really interesting. That
really like what they put together, and they're just a small operation underneath the trains there on Bermondsey Road.
Yeah.
So it's just a wonderful little place to go in, grab a couple beers and stuff like that. And I think it'd be great to do a collab with them, get there, see what they're doing and see how it applies to what we're doing.
Yeah. Tommy, how about you?
It's a good question. I'm not, to be totally honest, like very versed in, you know, breweries over the pond. I've only been out of the country a few times, and but I love Czech lagers, so I would poke around the Czech Republic and
wouldn't it be cool to make some friends to do one with Pilsner or Kel?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a gentleman Falk who works for us. He's from Germany, Koblenz, Germany, and he's been trying to get us to go over there with him. And there's a Pilsner I had from his hometown because it's like there every town has its own Pilsner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, well, that would be a cool collab to kind of connect our what our staff has to, you know, tighten it and something over there in Germany. So I don't know.
We're going to send this podcast out to them and maybe have them reach back out to us.
I don't remember the name of it. It's got to be, it could just be called Koblenz, you know, brew house or whatever.
Maybe so. We'll see if we could like figure out a way to share that with some folks and go, hey, there are some local craft breweries here in Greeley, Colorado that would love to do a collaboration with you and could look at the Brewers Association Export Development Program to see how that would work in the UK. And, you know, so I don't know if there's an option for Germany there, Tommy, but definitely some, I'm sure there's some things over there that you probably would also be interested in. We'll see what happens. I think that was kind of a cool idea to see that happen and to see what could come of it.
They're kind of helping push the export market or the import-export market, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that'd be kind of fun to be involved in.
Yeah, so
I mean, I don't even export to, like, Sterling. So this would be really cool to export.
That would be quite a jump from an export perspective for Rule 105. I don't export to Sterling, but I'm now available in
London.
Four other countries within the UK.
That makes total sense. Region.
Perfect. I love it. I think it's great. And we would support that.
Yeah, me too.
Wholeheartedly. So now here's the last question. When you do a collaboration, is it equal billing? Is it an element where somebody kind of takes a lead and somebody does a secondary? Is it 50-50? How does that work?
For the ones we've done in the past, it's all of the above.
Yeah.
In some cases, somebody says, I got this really great recipe. Let's do it together. I'm like, okay. And I've also had, what do you think would be a great recipe? Let's build it together and do it.
Yeah.
And I've also had another one where, like, I've got a great recipe. And it'd be really fun to do this with you.
Yeah.
You know, so I've seen it all those ways, and it's actually fun every way. And how you split the financials is just depending upon whatever the situation is. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all dynamic and fluid, so it can be different with each one, depending on who it is and what ideas are put on the table. But creativity is always the funnest part. So getting two well versed brains together to bring what they have to the table, or sometimes you try something that might be a little weird and just let's see what happens.
Right. Or I've got the recipe and you've got this great label idea. Mm-hmm. Let's get together.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing works well. Or, hey, I'd like to make something with pears and you're not adverse to that, so let's do that.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Yeah, so it's just as you say, Tommy, it's all over.
Yeah, very dynamic. So,
well, maybe that becomes the Brew Talk task and goal of 2024, to figure out a way to create an international collaboration with a local Greeley craft brewery and someone across the pond. That would be incredible.
Yeah, count me down.
And I think Doc has already volunteered that he would be more than happy to be a part of that experiment or that exercise. So
hunting down the people. Yeah. So if you anybody want to give me a plane ticket to go over there and knock on doors, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did put the shout out for the Utopias.
And yeah.
We had to self-fund that exercise. So who knows? Maybe we'll figure out something crazy in 2024. But all right. Well, let's take a break. We'll pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to crack open this really fun barrel-aged Buddy's Elixir from last year and talk about some other ways that beer is getting more worldwide recognition from an American standpoint. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. I'm picking up a theme here, Micah. You're doing some good work behind the glass tonight. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I can think of a few more.
I bet we'll have to kind of brainstorm, make sure Micah uses all of those except for one spot during today's show, because we have to leave one for a very special, you know, band that I always love, Asia.
So, Asia, yeah. Or Toto.
Or Toto.
Wasn't it Toto?
Yeah. Or ABBA or whatever else.
Oh, ABBA works.
Yeah, ABBA works, all those things. So, all right, so Tommy, you just poured us the barrel elixir. So we have Buddy's elixir, which then goes into a barrel, and then you barrel age it, and then we get the barrel elixir. So tell us some more.
Yeah, so 14 months spent in some rye whiskey barrels from 477, our good friends downtown. They only had a couple of these barrels for their rye that they do once a year. So that was kind of a cool barrel to put in and a good profile to add to this kind of style of beer. Last year's Buddy's was 8.6%. Now coming out of the barrel into packaging, this is now 11.6%. So made a pretty good jump there. And you're going to get those really warm kind of bourbon notes just before you even get that in your water hole.
And, right. There is a new term that has just been added to the Brew Talk glossary.
I like it. You have to be careful how you say that.
Yes,
though.
You do. Yeah. Yes, you do.
So we did introduce a little fresh beer from this year and reintroduce a little fresh cinnamon just to give it that pop again.
Okay.
And kind of also just give it a smooth blend a little bit. So, it's...
This is definitely a winter warmer.
Yeah.
And I noticed it's a lot more still than Buddy's Elixir.
It's a little less carbonated than we wanted in this package. I think like our first couple cases,
actually don't dislike it where it's kind of still.
Yeah.
Because now it's more like a scotch than it is a beer. And to me, that's fine.
Yeah. So you get those kind of extra layers of bourbon and vanilla than you would
with
that spice and everything as well.
A lot of nose on this one. When you smell it, I smell the barrel.
I do too.
I smell this, you know, like, it's like I'm hugging a barrel.
It is. It's, you know, and we'll use another term that we're going to use it appropriately, but yeah, it's almost like sitting on the ground and just hugging a barrel and having your nose right at the bunghole.
Right.
So that you're smelling all of the smells of the barrel, nothing else.
Right.
Let's not have any...
Oh, I didn't go down that other path.
Good, I appreciate that. Yeah. But I'm sure, you know, I have some people that probably immediately went there. But yeah, that's... Definitely,
it's good, and then the flavor is it is deeper than the nose. The flavor is there's an awful lot more. You can taste the rye,
yeah.
You can taste the whiskey. You can taste all of these things in it. It's yummy.
Yeah. Now I know, Tommy, you said 14 months. What? And Doc, I'm sure that you can probably add a bunch of this, you know, from a scientific perspective, but. Is there, like, you just get it in there and you just kind of check it after a certain period of time and you're sampling, or do you have this set? Did you know going in you were going to age it for 14 months?
We knew at least a year was kind of about where we're hoping for.
Okay.
We do pull samples, I would say, every, like, couple months or so, 3 months kind of increments. Because you do want to check and make sure, you know, you can have... things go wrong in barrels, and unfortunately, you know, you can dump product sometimes. You want to make it a good finished product. So, yeah, we kind of periodically check in on them. This beer was actually brewed about a year and a half ago because we brewed it in the summer. Then once the beer's finished, then we add it into the barrels. So, it's kind of different depending on the beer and the time of year. Now, when we release this one in particular, there's a window to hit for a Christmas ale.
Sure.
And that window comes and goes. We knew we were going to release it in that kind of Black Friday weekend no matter what.
So you had to be ready for you to release it in that regard.
Yeah.
And Doc, I know that, you know, we've talked a little bit about the nuances and, you know, brewing in Colorado is one thing with our higher altitude and the different things. Right. But when you're starting to age, mm-hmm. once you get into barrels and things like that, then it really gets difficult because of our environment and the really low humidity here. So,
well, the low humidity just means that the wood is thirstier.
Yeah.
And it's going to steal some of that water mm-hmm. out of the beer faster. And yeah. especially, you know, given the kind of barrel it is, it could be a very well-sealed barrel where it doesn't do a lot of things. I mean, the barrel might have been used 3 or 4 times before. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like it was used maybe once,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which means it's a thirsty barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna soak up an awful lot of that water and increase the alcohol content quite a bit.
Hence the 3% jump.
I was going to say,
Yeah.
So I'm curious. Did you fill them all? I mean, did you fill them all the way? Was this a 55-gallon barrel, and you filled them at 50, or did you fill them slightly less? And then how much did you get out?
Yeah, we pretty much fill them all the way. Trying to think. We had you put me on the spot.
I'm sorry.
Volume.
But you kind of want to fill them all the way so that there's not a lot of head space in
there. Right.
You don't want to give any room for bacteria or oxygen
sure.
to be in there. So you want to kind of have them like mm-hmm. full.
Yeah, which is different like when you're doing bourbon and whiskey and things like that. A lot of times they don't fill them
right.
completely full. A lot of times they will do, you know, if it's a 55-gallon barrel, they'll only, you know, put 48 or 50 gallons in it because they do want to allow for that expansion and contraction that'll take place, especially in that, you know, in the Kentucky, the
Well, if your temperatures are going to go up and down, you got to account for that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's always a challenge, but yeah. And then when you dumped them, was this a blend and you guys do some blending process in order to get to that single kind of vat, if you will, of your beer? Or
yeah, I mean, you're really just pulling, like we pulled some from this year's batch,
uh-huh.
just to reintroduce
yep.
with that cinnamon. So you're essentially just whatever, you know, things like cinnamon and coffee can really just fall out over time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just adding like a little fresh pop back into mm-hmm. that product. We don't do a ton of like barrel age blending just because we haven't had the space in the past,
yeah.
but now there's a little more space for us to play with those kinds of things. And just there's a lot to learn there. So it's fun being in this industry because there's just a plethora of knowledge that you can just yeah. keep soaking in and learning from your peers and what other people are doing. So
yeah, and I really like the idea, too, more of a single barrel, single malt, single, you know, scotch.
Yeah.
You know, what about a single barrel, single beer?
Yeah.
You know, blending sometimes to me sounds a little bit like you're cheating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So taking the good out of this one and mixing it so you don't taste the bad out of that one.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like more of a single barrel kind of mm-hmm. approach to things.
Yeah.
But then that means that every time you grab a barrel, it's going to be slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some friends over at the house this past weekend, and we did some of that tasting on the bourbon and the whiskey side. I had some single barrel selects of a couple different whiskeys that I like, and it was very interesting to go down and go, well, this one tastes almost identical to what the blended version is, but this one, oh my gosh, it's so different
right.
profile-wise. Mm-hmm. And so that is, there's a lot of fun in that and uniqueness that
and
comes
And that means,
things.
Too, you're not like, you could do all your fun things that you want to do with that barrel. You can do it in that one barrel. You're not going to affect the entire batch for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You're just affecting a small amount.
Yeah. It's a really great thing. Well, and before we go to break, just wanted to mention this real quick. Kind of going along the lines we talked about with the export development program that the Brewers Association is working on, there was actually a American Craft Beer Experience Festival in Tokyo, Japan earlier this year, and over 5,000 beer lovers visited, and there were 40 American craft breweries featured in this venue in Tokyo. And so we've got to work with the Brewers Association to figure out how in the world can we get
tighten
it and Rule 105
I wasn't invited
to that. Come on now, let's go. We're going to figure that out. There's a couple up here. So Upslope, which is one of the beers that we have talked about, Sierra Nevada. They were a part of that group. So maybe we'll reach out to those folks.
I understand why.
Oh, yeah.
Upslope makes a really great rice beer that probably was the reason why they were invited over there.
It could be. Yeah. So. But, you know, we definitely have some options there. But again, another goal for 2024, we get some really breweries at the Tokyo Beer Festival and we get them in that place.
That would be totally cool.
I'm
or we start our own beer festival in Buenos Aires.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too. Yeah, any place we need to go and support. Yeah. Maybe you and I could go and
we could scout out the place first. Before.
We might have to visit five or six countries in order to figure out the
best place
for this.
Yeah, just we'll take like 6 months off. And
sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if we get some really wealthy sponsor to let us do that. So we'll
happy,
see what happens.
Happy to indulge them.
Yes, I would be as well because I can't do that. But I could be indulged. So, yeah. All right, let's take another break. When we get back, we're going to jump into our review beer, which is going to be coming to us from Springfield, Missouri. And you guys can figure out which one it is and you can guess. But we'll let you know after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Brew Talk, coming to you from the Aloe Fiber Studios in beautiful
Midtown Greeley.
Yes,
Midtown. I love it.
Midtown. We are gonna name that. I hear the guys over on the Nerd Show have been using that as well.
Oh, cool.
So I think
we started a trend.
Up. Yeah,
we
have.
Greeley's big enough now. You can have a Midtown.
You can have a Midtown. Yeah. Yes,
because we used to be West.
Right,
but now we're kind of like Mid.
I know. Well, technically, you guys were like almost on the. Border.
We were on the border, 47th Street, and now we're like right in the middle.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I remember coming up here in high school, and we played against Greeley West High School, which is on 35th Avenue.
Yes. Well, the West, right?
Yeah, so that was the West part of Greeley back in the 80s. So, oh crap, I'm aging myself. That's pretty good. All right, so Doc, you brought in our review beer today.
I happened to bring this one in. I like checking out new things, and Mother's Brewing Company out of Springfield, Missouri, made an easy drinking ale called Lake Break. It's only five IBUs and 4.6% alcohol. And they say that the best thing you can do with this is enjoy it with a three-bean salad, nachos, or a hot dog fresh off the grill. And while this might be a beer you might want to consider more for a summer kind of beer, I actually don't dislike having a light lager in the middle of winter. To me, it kind of helps clean the palate and get you ready for bigger beers.
Yeah, I'm all about light lagers year-round, so thanks, Doc.
All right, so I haven't tasted it yet, but there's something on the nose that I can't pick up.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you, Doc, have some insight on what we're getting there, but It's a little off-putting. I'm not sure what it is.
It's the hops that they're using here. Instead of using them as a bittering component, they're using the hops here in their aroma component. I can't identify the hops. I'm not quite that good to do so. But the hop that they've chosen for this has kind of a fruity kind of aroma, like tropical fruit kind of aroma.
And I'm not trying to be too negative about it, but it's almost like a spoiled...
Like a pineapple?
Or a sour fruit that, that is past its prime or something. What I am liking is that the flavor seems to show up in the beer, but not in the way that the nose does. The nose, I wasn't sure I even wanted to try the beer with the nose on it, but after you try it, it comes through in a much different way that is much more subtle, and it's more enjoyable than the nose was, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm on sip two, so sip three is coming up here pretty
soon. We'll know what you think here in a minute.
I think that, am I right? You think it's maybe a pineapple kind of aroma?
I get kind of a lemon, too, on the aroma.
Yeah.
but sometimes, when you're talking about it with people, you get influenced a little as you're like throwing things out. So now when you say that, okay, yeah, I do taste that a little bit now. But I definitely got some lemon on the nose, which was kind of fun. But you get some of those tropical notes in here, which definitely some newer American hops. This is kind of like a new age lager, American lager. It's not going to be like your traditional by any means.
That's why I was trying to study this label as best I could and to see if they tell me the hop blend that they use, but all they say here is it's a fruity hop profile.
Yep.
So they're not really divulging which hops they are using. And I must admit I am terrible at identifying hops based upon the beer.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some that I can identify. This one I just can't.
Sure. So. Well, you know, I do think it's kind of funny. One of the things, if your downtime means a 40-mile hike, mm-hmm. or listening to your tunes or floating in the waves works for the brew. So they definitely have a very wide berth that they're
right.
giving you.
Well, I mean, just imagine you're at Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah. There's, you can do all those things.
Yeah.
So they're trying to market to the...
Makes sense.
To the masses that head up yep. to the lake and go boating or go swimming or go camping or
definitely.
Go hiking.
Yeah. And I'm appreciating also, we were talking about labels earlier and how those are fun to do from a design. The whole... The Mother's Brewing Company logo in the center just reminds me of that old school, you know, 1930s, 1940s yeah. mother tattoo
sailor,
that you saw on the sailors.
Kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it definitely looks like that. But yeah, it's good.
So the beer itself is very golden colored. It does have a little bit of bite at the end, but hardly any at all. And what I get most out of this is the hops that they used as an aroma. The beer itself is really smooth,
mm-hmm.
And it invites you to drink more because it's a little dry at the
yeah.
end. And so it's one of those that I think I would drink a couple cans worth before I realized, oh, it's time for some water.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about that lemon,
right.
you know, that a little bit of that pucker kind of tartness that we're getting out of that, some citrusy elements that
mm-hmm.
are kind of... drawing you to go, well, have another drink. You
right.
like it. And then you do. And then it's like, well, now you need another
now
one.
Now you need
so,
another.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely is. I'm still conflicted on the fact that the nose was so off-putting for me, at least, before I took a drink. And now I don't notice it because I've been able to have a taste. And so I've got
right.
through
well, that. You have to, like, clean yeah. your palate, right?
Yeah.
So I always say, wait till the third sip before you say anything.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's the glass that is creating that a little
no,
bit.
No,
the
I've got the same smell
using.
You do, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just a little bit, yeah, not quite. My guess is that if you were designing your beer, that is not probably what you're hoping to get. Although, I could be wrong.
You could be wrong, but you could be right.
That's right.
That's what we don't know.
Yeah, that is the
I
element.
Think it's a little, like, at least, like I said, I'll drink... lagers like this year round, but this one in particular with the notes, I would definitely much rather have in the summer, just because
right.
of that tropicalness. But
agreed,
it's got some good clarity to it. I think it's well done. For at least they're stating on the label that it's a little different. So
mm-hmm.
if it hadn't said that tropical kind of thing on
right.
the label, then I would be a little more worried. Like,
right,
what is this beer supposed to be? But they're putting it up front, which is good, so
mm-hmm.
it makes sense.
Have you had any other beers from Mother's?
I have, actually. So I grew up in the Kansas City area, so you see Mother's out there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like their porter or something is the one I see the most often
yeah,
when
the
I'm
one
back
I
there.
Get. Yeah,
I haven't had a lot. I really can't say too much about them other than they've been around for a while, and if they've been around that long, they must make some quality stuff. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job. And if you're ever in Springfield, I'm sure you'll enjoy hitting their tap room.
Sure.
Too. So,
absolutely. I usually don't get that far east with work, but you never know.
Hey, you going to Branson? Just make a stop at Mother's on the way.
Yeah. Last time I was in Springfield was for like a soccer tournament when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. A few years ago.
Yeah.
Wait, you were drinking Mother's beer when you were a kid?
Definitely not. I don't even know if they were
They probably
around.
Weren't around at
I
that time.
I don't know that they were around back then, but yeah.
I don't know. Does it say when Mother's were?
Turn this into an aggressive, you know, like expose on Tommy and his early
Well, no,
drinking
I mean,
days.
Yeah. But I mean, just like no. 6 years ago, yeah. I was down in Joplin.
Yeah.
And there were no breweries to be had anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's two.
Nice.
It's just like they're just starting to hit that area.
Mm-hmm.
One in Webb City and another in downtown Joplin.
Nice.
And it's just like I don't think it's really starting to really take over yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's still an awful lot of growth to be had in that area. So I can understand, you know, if you've been to Springfield recently, you may be surprised that all of a sudden now there's another brewery there.
Mm-hmm. That would be. And I always used to wonder if that was because you had something like an Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis and things like that. But then I go, you know, we're in Colorado and you have Adolf Coors that's been around forever. And mm-hmm. we have so many craft breweries in Colorado. I almost think that could potentially add to the drive and the motivation to do craft beers because you can do something different than the big box guys are.
Right. Right. And I think that's the difference is, you know, like in southern Missouri, when I was growing up, Dad always used to go and get beer and drink it on the weekends, right? And when the generic beer came out, he got some of those. And then he just would grab whatever he wanted to grab.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if there had been craft beer on the shelves at the time, I'm sure he would have grabbed some of those.
Yeah.
But there wasn't. Mm-hmm. And the beer aisle was pretty stocked full of all the other stuff, mm-hmm. Many of which brands don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's totally different.
I always think it's interesting to see the dynamics in the growth and the expansion and contraction of the mm-hmm. craft brew industry. And, you know, we talked about that last week on some of those that we saw a bunch of craft breweries open, mm-hmm. but we saw a bunch of them close. And so we saw a net gain over the course of the year, but not by a lot.
Not by a lot at all.
That's too bad.
And there's a lot of consolidations going on right now where you see multiple breweries mm-hmm. coming together and sharing their spaces just so they can make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely some stuff. And expansion that's taking place. You know, I know we've talked a little bit on there before about, Tommy, you guys have expanded into a new space in Evans that's allowed you to up your production. We talked mm-hmm. about, you know, Grimm Brothers, they moved out of their old space into a much larger space to do that than some of the places in the Denver metro area that went into more of a collaboration effort. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea that we really haven't seen a lot of reduction in craft breweries in Greeley, that we've been able to, for the most part, kind of sustain the number that we've got in place, and so we haven't seen the loss of any. And I know it's not easy,
right?
And the two of you know that probably better than most. But I'm thankful that we haven't lost anything, you know, in the last several years. We haven't seen a huge contraction.
Yeah,
so far so good.
Yeah, so we'll hope that keeps.
I'll knock
up
on some wood there.
Got some good beer in Greeley.
Yeah,
we're proud of our mm-hmm. little community here. So
yeah, it's always fun to go into like one of the liquor stores when I'm looking for something, whether it's for a review beer or whatever else, and you go and look at the local beer section, and it's like I see all these beers that are coming from places in Greeley. So it's
we're a little spoiled here.
Yeah,
I think
in a good way.
I think most people in Colorado are pretty spoiled.
Yeah, you go to any
so
other state,
places.
To be honest, there's good stuff out there. Don't get me wrong,
right?
But just the amount of breweries,
yeah,
and for a town city like Greeley. With what, 120,000 people now or whatever, mm-hmm. and you got what, like five breweries,
five or six, I think.
I mean, that's
I'd have to count them, but yeah,
that's a lot for the size still, and all of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I think we are.
Yeah,
I hope we are. And if we're not, we won't be here very long.
Well, I think there's already a lot of evidence to say that you are, because we know that, you know, if you're not good, then business will decide and demand will obviously, you know, make that decision for you. So
right.
I think that's mm-hmm. really good. So cool. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll have a short final segment. We will grade and score this beer, and then we will wish you a happy holidays. So stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Gotta appreciate Micah behind the glass. Always brings us in with a Rush song.
So I was going to say, wasn't that Toto?
No, it was not Toto. It wasn't Rush. Okay. I mean, come on. Nobody has a voice like Geddy Lee. We know that. And
that wasn't James Hetfield?
No, it was not James Hetfield. So for crying out loud, people. So anyways, I don't know. We should probably review this beer. Final thoughts, Doc?
My final thoughts, I love how it pours. It has this beautiful white head. Very, very clear. Although I noticed on the second glass, not so much. So the first can was very, very clear. This second can is a little bit more hazy. Mm-hmm. And the second can, I noticed, doesn't have the same aroma. The strength of the aroma is not as bad as the first one.
That's true.
That's just the booze. talking, Doug.
It's the booze talking. But I do notice it has an awful lot of tropical fruit notes, a lot of fruity notes on the nose. And to me, this beer just, it seems to scream summer at me.
It does. I would agree. Tommy?
Yeah, I think, are we doing the grades yet?
Well, we will in a moment.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think in the summer, definitely hitting the spot. In the winter, I'd almost rather have, if I'm doing lagers, more of that kind of like Northern German kind of pills. Mm. I don't know why, but it's just like.
I get that.
I'm a seasonal drinker for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you get in the particulars, I think it's a well-made beer, but I'll give my grade here in a minute.
That sounds great. All right, so here's what we'll clarify with. Let's not take the season into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you want to think that you were able to grade and get this beer in a July, then we could go with that because that would probably be the better season for this beer. Sound good?
Sound good.
Mm-hmm. Got your scores on the count of three. One, two, three. Doc, what do you got?
I got a growler.
Okay. Tommy?
I got a solo cup.
All right. And I'm going to go with a growler also. And I think the reason I'm doing that is because, kind of like what Tommy said, I think in the summer months, this is going to be a better beer for me to enjoy with a warmer weather, warmer climate in that environment. Mm-hmm. So with two growlers, it is BrewTalk approved.
Beer.
Yeah. So we got that. So in the last few minutes, this is our last show of 2023. So any big Christmas plans that might involve beer that you guys have going on in the next week
or
so?
Well, aside from personal trips, at Real 105, we're doing a New Year's Eve party on the 31st with Danny DeRail Band and just ringing in the new year. And then I think we'll take the first off and let everybody recoup.
Yeah.
So we'll see how things go for that.
Sounds good. Tommy, how about you guys?
Yeah, so we've got one more Christmas event coming up. That's our annual Christmas Eve show with Ben Pooh and about three other musical guests. Kurt Gobel reads "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh, wow.
I heard Santa's going to be there.
Santa!
It's his last...
I know him! Yes. I know him!
Santa.
I know him.
It's his last night before he has to work so dang hard.
Yeah. You guys are lucky to score that. Oh, my gosh.
So that's Saturday night.
Wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And we got two beer releases right before Christmas that we're excited about. You'll get the first to know right now.
Oh.
Two English-style beers.
Oh, yummy.
So we've got my English Dark Mild, which is 3.9%, very light, kind of nutty, nice malt character.
Sounds great.
Super sessionable. And then we're going way on the other spectrum on the English and doing a English barley wine release. So those two beers are coming out probably Thursday or Friday, depending on if we can get this packaged on time. It's always a race.
Doc and I have talked about that.
Yes. Yeah. So barley wine's like 10%. Yeah. So two very different beers, English style.
They average out to something average.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have like one of each, and then you feel like you're in a good spot. Is that how that works?
Then it negates the low ABV beer once you get the barley wine.
Or the high, depending on which one you drink first.
There you go.
Let's be honest with that. So
sure.
That sounds great. Cool. And hopefully you guys are going to get to spend some good quality time with your family over this holiday season. Hopefully you're not working too hard.
That is always the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as long as there's a beer involved, we can sit back and relax and say hi to the grandkids. That's all that matters.
I like that.
Yeah.
Watch them open their presents.
One of my favorite times of the year, just to be around family. So
it is.
We'll make our trek to see some family and hopefully just get to have some fun together.
Good. Yeah. I heard there's a very, 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 very small chance that we would have a white Christmas in Greeley, but it's super, super small.
Well, we're spending it up in Estes and you never know. There may be some snow up there. But.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, I really appreciate you coming in today, providing some great beers for us to talk about and taste. Best of luck in the coming year with everything going on there. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys.
It's awesome.
Our pleasure. Appreciate that. Doc, thanks as always for your knowledge and expertise, and really thankful for all the things that you bring to the show.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas to you and yours, too.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. On behalf of Doc and Tommy and Chad and Micah and everybody else, We just want to thank everybody for tuning in to Brew Talk this year in 2023, and look for us back again on the 9th in 2024 when Brew Talk returns live. Thank you very much. Have a great week.